Hello, welcome to the Cosmic Eye Show. I'm your host, Jason Napolitano, and I have on the line my intrepid co-host, Mr. Chris Sheridan. What's
How
going
you
on,
doing?
Buddy? I'm good. Doing,
yeah.
You're good?
All good here. In the midst of the chaos, there's a calm in the eye of the storm. So, in the cosmic eye of the storm.
Wow, that was good. I like that.
Okay, I'm working on it.
I like that. Here. So we'll try to be a little calm space in the cosmic eye of the storm for you tonight. We're hitting this a little bit later tonight because it's kind of an impromptu show. We're actually not planning on doing a show this week, but we had one of our listeners and supporters, Anthony, reach out to us, and he had a question. He wanted to hear some information about occult tools for making decisions and looking for guidance, basically some esoteric and occult tools to be able to find make some decisions in your life and find that guidance that you need to take those steps to move forward. So we're going to talk about that today. Thanks for joining us here each week on Sunday for our show. We appreciate you guys and we appreciate everyone who's supporting us. If you can, please support us at anchor.fm/cosmiceye and support Chris and I's books. You can find those at chrissheridan.com, and Chris's book is The Spirit in the Sky, or you can go to cosmiceye.org. And you can find my book there. It is called If You Can Worry, You Can Meditate. And, of course, those are available through Amazon. And we'd appreciate it, of course, if you could support us. As I said, you can go to anchor.fm/cosmiceye and you can make a donation there. And, you know, we're hoping that, the more people we can get to make donations, you know, the bigger we can grow this show. And we're really trying to give you the kind of information that helps you to kind of, you know, change your inner life. And that, of course, is going to help you change the external world and make it a better place to live. And we're using this esoteric and ancient wisdom to try to do that. So, you know, we're trying to create kind of a movement here. So we want to get you guys involved and on board. And so I'm glad that Anthony reached out to us. And anybody else who has a question or would like to discuss certain issues or talk about certain things on the show, please go ahead and call and leave a recorded message, or you can email us at info@cosmiceye.org as well. So those are two ways you can reach us. So if you go through the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm/cosmiceye, you can see where you can leave that recording as well. All right, so on to the topic today. Occult tools, esoteric tools for decision-making and guidance. We're going to break this down into two basic sections, more or less. The first section is going to be, we're going to kind of frame the idea of making decisions and how to do that and kind of thinking about some of those ideas. Then we're going to look at divination, and then the second half is going to be more practical. We're going to look at maybe some ritual ideas, some prayer and affirmation, some tools of meditation that you can use and so forth to actually put these kinds of things that you find into, you know, you find out some information through the divination, and hopefully you'll be able to connect that to the decision-making process. And you'll be able to move forward with those. Yep. So let us go ahead and then jump right into our subject today. We'll first start talking, like I said, about a little, just kind of frame this. So really, you know, what are we talking about today? We're talking about the issue of making decisions, choosing between this or that thing. Maybe you've got some projects you want to work with and you don't know where to start. Maybe you're overwhelmed with a bunch of different subjects and you don't know how you're going to make that happen. Maybe you've got, you know, no choices and you're not really sure where to start. You know, so all these things can be addressed through the work of divination. And that'll help you to find that kind of higher source, higher power. Information, you know, your higher self or your holy guardian angel or, you know, the spirits or the ancestors or however you want to look at it. And however, you know, you're working with the different spirits that you want to work with, the different, you know, source, as it were, that you want to work with in order to kind of tap into that, to find guidance, really. What we're looking for is guidance oftentimes. And, you know, we're not really talking about, you know, these simple decisions, whether or not I want to have a Whopper or some chicken fingers, or whether, you know, or not I should be eating those things at all. First of all, but we're talking about things
that's a
that
good
are
decision.
More, right? Yeah, not eat those things at all. But we're trying to, you know, ask ourselves, like, more difficult questions, finding direction in life, choosing between, you know, maybe big projects that are going to require quite a bit of time and energy and effort and investment and so on. So we're looking at the big things, right, Chris? I didn't say the it big is, things, the challenging things, let's say, right?
Yeah, well, they can become small or big. They become big when the direction or even just seeing what's in front of you isn't really clear, or if there are clear choices, maybe the decision is very cloudy. So this is to see through or see beyond, you know, the things that otherwise we really can make a decision.
Yeah.
We can say, well, I like this, I don't like this about that thing, and therefore, yeah, I'm going to choose this one. Those are very kind of logical and straightforward, and we, you know, we have to make decisions all the time and look for direction. But yeah, this is when it gets a little bit murky. And I would bet that when anybody reaches this point, you've already tried looking at the situation. You've already tried to come up with it, and it hasn't quite materialized. So then you can turn to these occult practices, divination, ritual, meditation, to get beyond, you know, what's in front of you or maybe the immediate, and maybe see underneath something or past the surface of something to get, you know, maybe a deeper view or a broader view, whatever's needed to get that information.
That's a great way to put it. And I think it's, you know, it's that we kind of use these different tools to tap into different parts of the mind and sort of get us into an altered state, as it were, to try to tap into a different side of ourself, the non-thinking, non-rational, you know, more intuitive and, you know, image-oriented and vision-oriented part of ourselves, or, you know, that, you know, that higher energy, higher source guidance and so forth that we're looking for. So these things can be a way to do that. The first thing we'll talk about, so we'll talk about divination. I think most people are familiar with the word divination, but if you're not, I mean, it simply means, I mean, the sort of crude way to put it is fortune telling. You're doing something to sort of divine the future. It could be, you know, looking at the animals of entrails and or at the entrails of animals, you know, the insides of animals. They did that in the ancient world. It might be watching flocks of birds go by. It could be, you know, the Delphic Oracle, you know, where you would go and the oracle would speak mysterious words, and then those would be sort of translated for you by the priests and sort of given, you know, context and maybe your question. To, you know, in modern versions of this, you know, we've got things like the ruins, people throw ruins. That's a Norse tradition, a Germanic Norse tradition. You've got tarot, which is we're going to talk about a little bit. You've got in China, the ancient wisdom of the I Ching. So I think we're pretty familiar with these different things. What it is, though, you know, this divination process that's important to remember is, you know, it's one of these things where the information that you're going to get is usually kind of puzzling. And, you know, it's not going to necessarily give you a clear answer most of the time. So part of the real skill in divination, and especially, and by the way, you know, if you've had no sort of training in this stuff, you can still use it. There's simple ways, and we're going to talk about a couple of simple ways you can use these tools, even use them online if you don't have the tools that you need. So, you know, you don't have to be a master of tarot or a master of the I Ching or, you know, any kind of, you know, wizard or any kind of, you know what I mean? And you have a huge background in this stuff to make these valuable for you. Really what you're trying to do is, you know, elicit some images or some information or some symbols, and you're going to let those work on your unconscious. And then you're going to kind of use your creativity and your intuition to find some information, find some answers in that information that comes through it for you. So don't think that because you haven't studied tarot or I Ching or any of these traditions, you know, for 50 years or 20 years or, you know, 10 months even, that you can't use it, because you can. You know, trust in your own intuition and use these tools to guide yourself towards where you need to go, and ask, you know, ask for that help, ask for that inspiration when you approach it. The first thing I want to address, in the, you know, the idea of divination, it's so important, and I want to have you talk about this a little bit after I set this up, to ask, it's so important to ask the correct question. Ask the correct question. Do you want to talk a little bit about that, how formulating the right question is kind of like half the battle?
Yeah, the question of the question. Yep. That's always, and that can be a discovery process in itself.
Mm-hmm.
Saying, well, I just don't know. I'm at a crossroads, for instance. I don't know where to go with my life. Maybe I should go back to school. Maybe I should move back home. Maybe I should join the Peace Corps. You know, I don't really know where to go, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the question might arise, okay, well, what do I do with my life? Or where am I going next? That may not be enough. Okay, what does it mean to go next? Okay, if you don't know where you're going, what might that look like, though, this destination X? What might you see yourself doing? Even if you don't know what you're going to be doing, well, what's that going to feel like? Well, I want to make a difference. Well, I want to contribute. Or I want to be involved with other people. Anything like that that you can kind of add to it to kind of help clarify where it is you are and where it is you want to go, even if it is, you know, that you don't know where you want to go, you don't really have a clear thing, then work that into the question, because it will have an effect on the answer, especially if you're using these symbolic systems to get an answer, a symbolic answer. It really depends on how the question is being asked. So yes, yeah. I'm glad you brought up, that point.
So, and it's important, like you said, I mean, to be specific and to include details and to be very clear in terms of what you're trying to figure out, so that you're the information that you're getting, you can match those two things together. So if you're talking about making choices in terms of projects, or you're talking about making choices about your career, so be specific about that. You know, in terms of my career, you know, between these choices X, Y, and Z, please inform me about what I need to know regarding the decisions I need to make. Might be a way to sort of ask a question. It's good.
That's a great default question, by the way. What do I need to know right now regarding
this, right?
This situation, yeah. My relationship, or my career. What do I need to know right now?
Yeah.
And it may not be the answer to where am I going to go and what am I going to do with my life, but it gives you something now. And then by following that advice, you're then set in motion on a path that maybe then you can see more clearly through the trees.
Exactly. And it sort of contextualizes it, and it might give you some information about some things you might need to work on in order to be able to make the correct decisions, or things that you might need to shore up in your own life, issues that you've got that you might want to clear up before starting down that path, things like that. And those can be really important. And those are the things where we've got to have some patience with ourselves. It's like, we want to make the decision and we want to jump into it. We want to get moving forward. And I'm not discouraging that, but it's important to do that preliminary work. Ask those good questions. So you've got to formulate a good question in order to ask a good question, which means you need to be specific. You need to be very specific. And that's one of the things that people sometimes don't think about. And one of the kind of challenges we're having these days in communicating in general in life is people are not being precise with the words they're using and the communication they're using, and they're not really examining situations clearly. And this can be problematic, especially in our own life when we're trying to figure out difficult things. We've got to define things clearly, word our questions properly, and be very specific. And, you know, if we need to look up words in a dictionary, or we need to really search our soul and figure out what we really mean and then find the right, you know, word or the right phrase to put into that, it's important to do that work. You know, sometimes we want to be kind of lazy and just leave it up to chance, or we'll just, you know, throw some cards down and see what happens, whatever. But it, you know, this work, you get out what you put into the work. So the more precise you can be, the more precise and clear and effective the answers that you get out of these tools are going to be. Would you agree with that?
I would. And one way you can check yourself is if you get an answer and you don't like it or you don't think it matches with your question, I usually write the question down beforehand, before, you know, pulling a card or reading the tea leaves or I Ching or anything like that, is that it's written down first. That way, when you get the answer, you go, what the heck does that mean? Or, wow, that's not what I was hoping for. Go back and read your question, and it might, oh, you see how I worded this question? That's what the answer is, you know, because that's what it has to go on. And another thing, I just want to throw this in about divination. One of the important, as well as the question, one of the important things to recognize, or one of the most important aspects of a divination, is this random nature. It's pulling a card from a shuffled deck. It's throwing the coins of the I Ching. It's the tea leaves that are randomly collecting at the bottom of the cup. The point there is that you didn't do that. You didn't stack the deck and shuffle them a certain way and, oh, look, there's my card. You know, or you don't keep rolling the coins until you get the one you want. Yeah. Okay, best out of three. Okay, best out of five. No, best out of seven. You know, you keep upping the thing until you get what you want. That's not really what's happening. This random nature of the way the answer is pulled from the possibilities with a shuffled deck or with random coins, it proves that it's not really coming from you, that you're not somehow at least consciously directing it. It should definitely be coming through you unconsciously or subconsciously, that you just picked the right card.
Yeah.
But you're not looking through the deck and finding it. Oh yeah, there's my card. Well, and success. Yes, I found the success card. That's it. I'm going to win.
And piggybacking off of that, though, really quickly, is that one of the things that you can look for is if you find yourself wanting a certain result or a certain answer to occur in the divination, there's a pretty damn good chance that that's what you really want to do. And you should probably just make that decision. You're like, oh, I'm hoping that it comes up, you know, A, not B, but A. You know what I'm saying? And then it's like your heart's telling you something right there. You may not need to do a divination. If you find yourself wanting a certain outcome in the cards, that's a good indication that maybe you can just move in that direction, right?
Great point. Yeah.
Awesome. So, all right. So let's talk a little bit about the specifics of this as we're moving forward. Talk a little bit about tarot. So one real easy way to use tarot, there's two ways. First of all, if you have a deck, you know, that's fantastic, and you can use it in, you know, how you like. You know, if you're approaching this and you know you've got no experience doing any divination at all, you know, you can just shuffle the deck. I mean, it could be like seven times and then cut the cards, let's say three times or something. It doesn't have to be that specific. You know, however you feel it's going to work for you. And then one really great, really simple layout is just a three card layout. So basically what you'll do is you know, like I said, after you shuffle, however many times you do it, and then, you know, usually after the shuffling and maybe cutting of the cards several times, you know, the last thing you'll do is split the cards in half and then put the bottom half on the top and deal there. So just to keep it truly random. So then what you'll do is you'll deal one out in the middle. That's the present situation. Then you're going to deal one card out to the right of that one. That's going to be the past, the influences from the past that are affecting this present or this, you know, this main idea about this, this question you have, which is in the middle. And then the left is kind of what the future may hold in terms of things. So you look at from right to left it goes from past on the right, middle is present, and then on the left it's the future. So you would just use those three cards like that to give you some information on that matter that you bring to the table. There's a great free tarot reading that they do. Llewellyn Books actually has it up on their website, and I used to use that one a lot. They used to have a great deck that I liked on there. The deck isn't up there anymore, but you can choose from five or six different decks and, you know, pick the one you like. You just look up in Google Llewellyn free tarot reading. Llewellyn is kind of a weird spelling. It's Llewellyn, and I'll put that in the description as well, so you can find that. It's easy to find. It's the first thing that comes up if you look up Llewellyn free tarot reading, and you can do it right online. It's very helpful. his explanations of the cards and so on. My advice would be, though, don't get so hung up on necessarily the meanings that come up in terms of the explanations for those cards. I would say don't even look at them first, and go with your own intuition of what those cards look like they mean to you before you look at those sort of standard meanings that they put with those images, and maybe write those down. You know, your first impressions, kind of cover it up and don't look at what it says, and then just write down your first impressions by kind of looking at those cards. Write that down, what you think is, you know, the past, the present, and the future, and kind of and then you can kind of go and kind of find some meaning from it. And then afterwards, after you've given it your general, you know, first impression, then you might go and look at what some people have to say about those different cards. But after you've done it, you know, yourself first, because that's your real intuition, and that's you getting in touch with your higher self. And I would say also, while you're shuffling those cards, think about your question. Think clearly about your question. Write it down beforehand, like Chris said. And also, you know, say a little prayer or do some little quick ritual, light a candle, light some incense or something. And, you know, ask for guidance, whoever you're asking guidance of, if it's your higher self, it's God, it's Jesus, it's, you know, the magician, it's the wizard, it's whoever you're trying to get in touch with, you know, the whatever it is, the ancestors, the spirits, whatever it is, whoever it is, I should say, you know, address who you're trying to speak to, even if it's your own higher self. So, you know, higher self, please guide me in this divination and give me the information that I need to know concerning, you know, X, Y, Z, and kind of go from there. So that's kind of basically how you can do that three card thing. And I think that, you know, with that, you can actually get a really nice little reading and some sort of guidance that you might need in knowing kind of how to frame things, or what's important, or what's a challenge in this situation for you, or what's the hang up, why you can't make the decision. You know, find out that stuff first, and then you can go and make that decision down the road after you've got some information. And we'll give you some more tools that you can use to strengthen that decision making process and so on as we go in the show. So you want to talk a little bit, you know, pretty briefly, because obviously we got to jump forward. But about that process, the same thing, you know, a simple way to do that I Ching reading if they're not familiar with it, and, you know, maybe just a real quick background on what the I Ching is and how to use it, something like that.
Okay, yeah. So the I Ching is an ancient form of divination. It's from China. It goes way back, thousands of years. Nobody really knows. It uses a series of figures that are made up of broken and solid lines, and they relate to the yin, which would be a broken line, and yang, which would be a solid line, the two main forces of Taoism. But the I Ching probably preceded that. And they construct a figure, a six-lined figure, of which there are 64 possible permutations of this. Just like there's, you know, what, 72 tarot cards, there are 64 possible I Ching answers.
78, actually.
78, sorry. Yes. Yeah. Okay. There's 72 names of God.
There you go.
Exactly. 78 tarot cards. And how many trombones in the big, I don't know. 76, I think. Okay, indeed. Yeah, so we're...
76 anyway, trombones. There you go.
We're on to 64. Okay. And actually, gotcha. if you study the I Ching, it's very fascinating, because you've heard of a 64-bit computer. All these variations and combinations, starting from the two, the yin and the yang, or the off and the on, of binary code. There's an incredible parallel between the two. So it's incredibly ancient, but it's, you know, so high tech and modern, and very familiar. If you're into computer science, some of these combinations, you know, mathematically will be familiar. And each one is very cryptic. Sometimes the language, reading through the answer, is just as cryptic in the text as maybe a picture would be on a tarot card. So again, it needs some interpretation. But by throwing coins, that's the random element. Or there's another method where you can draw from 64 sticks, and, you know, you pick up the one, and okay, that's the one that that you use. And, you know, as you look through the answer, think again of the question. And you might get something. I'll give a quick example. I got one, the tree, you know, penetrating over the mountain. So it was, you know, wood above and mountain below. Okay. And I just was trying to, I was actually wondering if I should stay in a relationship. This was many, many years ago. And I couldn't weigh it out. And I got this figure and it's like, well, that's really weird. And I stepped outside the apartment and there it is on the top of, you know, in the Hollywood Hills, this very iconic mid-century house. You've probably seen it in magazines or something. And right next to it is this sort of, I think they paved more or less part of the hilltop to keep it from eroding. But there was a tree growing right out of there. I literally saw the actual image of what this I Ching reading was. And I immediately was able to interpret it. At least I felt I did. And that is because mountain is about staying put. So stay where you are, but grow. The tree was still growing, even though it was growing on top of the mountain. So there was this stillness, but there was growth. So my interpretation was stay in the relationship, but do it and keep growing. Don't go, stay and grow. And, you know, lasted another year. And I'm glad I stayed that extra year. But it was really a result of, and I trusted the I Ching answer. I guess I trusted myself enough that I would interpret it at least in a way that worked out for me. But that seemed very clear through what's very cryptic and symbolic imagery.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if they don't have a lot of information, obviously, you know, both these systems, both tarot and I Ching are, you know, are fairly complicated if you're going to go really deeply into them. So I think, isn't there a source online as well? Like the three-part thing?
I think it's called I Ching Online or Online I Ching. And I Ching is spelled I-C-H-I-N-G. I Ching, it looks like it's really pronounced Yi Jing. But yeah, if you just do online I Ching, the first two or three are very long standing ones that are very good. And you just type in your question and you click a button, it'll randomly generate the figure, as they're called, the 64 figures, one of those. And with it, the text explanation of what that figure represents. And then, of course, it's up to you to interpret it in relation to your question.
What's neat about I Ching, too, is, you know, since it is more of a symbol, sort of a symbol system instead of like images or pictures, you know, that those sort of cryptic, poetic titles that they give those seem to evoke kind of a lot of creativity and open up the unconscious to come up with some interesting, you know, some interesting ideas in relation to those, don't you think?
Yeah, I do. And it's, you know, the I Ching really gets frustrating the more you learn about it, the deeper you go into it.
Like
I don't
everything
really
else.
Recommend that. I went too far, yeah. and it's a little, if you're really trying to understand, it's a little difficult at first or takes a little bit of effort, but there's this nice sweet spot in the middle where you can really use it. It's very practical and just, yeah. And it's okay that, you know, the image, or if it's the, you know, the text that describes the image is symbolic and, like you said, poetic.
Yeah.
Or even foreign sounding, because it's, you know, it's ancient and it's been translated a number of times. Sometimes it went from the original Chinese to German and then English. So it comes a long way to get to you.
Sure.
But that's okay that it's weird, because or not very clear. It's what clarity you make out of that.
Yeah,
so you have
exactly.
This question that you don't understand, then you have this answer that you also don't understand. But it gives you a view to the question that you definitely probably wouldn't have come up with on your own.
Exactly. That's a great way to put it.
And that's a new eye, a new lens. And isn't that, you know, one of the goals is to look at, it's not necessarily, oh, here's the exact correct answer, but wow, here's another way. Why don't we look at it this way? Oh, I never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
And now that you are thinking of it that way, your relationship to the question has changed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the real value of it, is you're kind of confounding the rational mind, and you're opening up different parts of the mind and allowing information to flow through, you know, from higher sources and stuff to give you information that you didn't know before, you weren't, you know, privy to before, you didn't have access to before. And that's the whole idea of it. And you kind of need to, in some ways, confuse or overload the conscious mind, the regular rational thinking mind, in order to get to that place. And that's what these tools do. All right. So the next thing we're going to talk about is meditation. And meditation as a tool for insight. There's a couple things you can do with that. One of the things that you can do is just do a really basic mindfulness type meditation where you just sit and concentrate on the breath, watching the breath go in and watching the breath go out, and really just kind of seeing what bubbles up, not judging it, not labeling it. Or another technique is to actually watch things that bubble up and then label them. Like, that's a thought, that's a feeling, that's this, that's that. And you can look at, you know, and you can then just let it go. Or just watch the stuff go by if you can do that. And you'll be surprised at what kind of just bubbles up as you're, you might find some insight that you hadn't thought of before and see some imagery that you didn't think of. The other way then is to kind of specifically focus on a particular center, the second chakra. So you got your sacral chakra, which is down at the bottom of the spine, the base of the spine, and then the second one up, which is sort of the sexual organ center kind of thing. In the Rosicrucian system, in the alchemical system, not the Indian system, not the Hindu system, but the Western system, that's the center where Mars is. The second chakra is Mars. So this Mars energy is located there in this particular system. And that's where you're going to find this sort of decisive, kind of strength that you need to make decisions. So if you want to start kind of getting in touch with that, in addition to kind of opening up and finding out information that you need to know, and, you know, you want to begin to kind of stoke the flames of that kind of, you know, powerful Mars energy that there. It's the idea of that is not this, you know, destructive sort of, you know, wanton, you know, warlike God that we think of when we think of Mars, but it's more of this decisive general in a righteous army leading, you know, people in a direction. It's this kind of sword and this incisive, decisive energy where you're sort of cutting things away that are not necessary anymore, and kind of like using the sword to point the way and things like that. It's a very, you know, sort of phallic symbol as well. I mean, there's creative energy and action and so on, all sort of wrapped up in that symbolism. But working with that second chakra up there, that Mars energy, if like I said, in that Western system, is a great way to do that. So you can just concentrate on that spot that's a little bit below the navel. That's roughly where that area is. And you can look at those charts or whatever and find that. But that's a great spot to focus your attention on as you're meditating. And you'll see that might give you some strength and some energy to make the decisions and to see things clearer and so on. That'll help with that guidance process as well. And it's something you can do after you get the guidance also to get into action for that. So that's something you can do. A second sort of meditative way of dealing with things. And is this a good time to talk about the journey? Or do you want to wait?
Okay. Sure.
Okay, so a second type of sort of meditative process is what's known as a shaman's journey, a shaman journey. And this is something that you can do that'll help you get in touch with, you know, some inner force, inner guidance that you might want to get in touch with. And I'm going to have Chris talk about this, and he's actually going to kind of lead through a little short one so we can use that as an example. So you want to start into that?
Sure. So, basically, shaman, the medicine healers, the priests, the witch doctor, the wise man, the wise person of a village or a tribe generally lived at the periphery, at the edge of where the community is, right at the edge of the forest or the sea or wherever this culture inhabited. So he really would have one foot in nature and then one foot in his community, the civilization. And it's that connection to nature and nature forces. Again, it's not you. It's not your ego. It's not your learning or your friends, or, you know, your therapist or anything, you know, really giving you this advice, the shaman pulls from natural forces, animal spirits, each one representing an aspect of, you know, a human, what a person and what an individual might have. Oh, he's got an eagle eye, or you get a bear hug. I mean, we use it in our everyday as well, but the shamans are so connected with nature. And again, whether it's, you know, this divination device, or you're meditating and you from the state of calmness, you can be opened up to possibilities that were hidden before. Nature provides another window into our situation or our problem that gives a perspective that we wouldn't necessarily have, or, you know, because we really become cut off, I think, you know, the further we get into modernity, our, you know, our separation from not just nature, like animals and trees, not just that, but the flow of nature and the seasons and the whole ecosystem that's involved, the way nature works, you know, the real laws of the jungle, not this social Darwinism, but, you know, just the way nature operates. Very benevolent. It's scary and it can be brutal, but it's very affirming. It's self-sustaining. We're unsustainable in our lives. Nature is sustainable as long as it's not meddled with too much. So this is a great place from which you can draw wisdom, and that's the role of the shaman. So if I can do a quick journey, what we'll do is go into the earth, since we're talking about the earth, which is a metaphor for going into the heart, going into your own soul, your inner part of your life. And we'll pull back a power animal that can help guide you. So I'll make this really short. It's usually more involved with kind of, you know, preparing, you know, recognize the four directions and getting centered with the breath, and perhaps a warm orb of light, you know, surrounding you, because we're going to this place, and it's a sacred place. It's, we're leaving the normal everyday world behind. And as you can travel deep into the earth, you know, underground through the roots of the great trees and the giant boulders, and come to this clearing, this open space. And there you meet a gatekeeper. And this is a threshold guardian that is going to allow us entrance into this room. Maybe it's a cave. And this is a metaphor for looking inside what's in our heart, or in our inner content, our inner consciousness. And that's where we can find maybe some of these answers. And you want to approach this gatekeeper, say, I'm here to gain insight. I have this problem or this situation, or I can't seem to make a decision. I seek guidance so that I may get on my path in the correct way that's good for me and people around me. And if you feel the gatekeeper is okay, that's fine. It's a good opening line. We'll let you gain access, because it is this special place and this inner sanctum. And when you're in this room now, you can look around, and anything that you can see, maybe it's a person, maybe it's somebody you don't know. It could be an image. Maybe there's something on the table. There's a character, a person, you could ask them who they are, what they want. Anything you can find from this empty space that comes up that might be helpful or might be significant. And you trust the first image that comes up. Oh, well, there's an old woman in the kitchen and she's trying to cook something, and she just keeps chopping and chopping, and the pieces get smaller and smaller and smaller. And I don't know what that means. That sure is weird. Okay. But go with it. Okay. You're really kind of, actually the weirder the better. So find something and connect with it and go, okay, like just like a dream image. You're in this movie and you're seeing things, and okay, that's great. And if you have something like that, I'll just go with the woman in the kitchen chopping things. I don't know where that came from, but okay, I'll bring that out. And as we go out of this cave, this inner chamber, and we thank the gatekeeper for allowing us entrance, knowing that we can come back and take a look again, maybe get some more illumination about our situation. And before we head on back up to the upper world, we're going to take a power animal with us. And first thing that comes to your mind when I just said grab a power animal. Okay, so I guess first thing I thought of was an eagle. Okay, I don't know what that means either, but just go with it. Don't try to question it. Okay, if it's there, it's fine. And the purpose of a power animal is, yes, it's power, but it's really that connection to nature that we don't have. And each animal, like a chameleon, will change colors. Okay, well, that's a maybe that's something I need in my life. Maybe I need to fit in better. Or an eagle like I got, you know, well, they soar they're at the top of their food chain. They soar very high. They can see a great distance. They can take in a large view. Oh, well, that attribute is maybe something I need. Maybe I need to look at the bigger picture. Okay, thank the gatekeeper and we can come back to the upper world through the boulders and the trees, back onto the land. And we have the energy.
All right, that's fantastic. So that's something that they can do, and that's you've led them on a short little journey. So I mean, if they come back, if a listener wants to come back and listen to this several times and kind of get a feel for how to do that, they can do it on their own and find their own image and find their own power animal and bring that back and kind of use that as a divination tool as well, right? Look at those images and kind of see what they mean in regard to the question that's being asked, right? All right. That was fantastic. Absolutely. Thank you for doing that. I appreciate that. And I think our listeners are going to really enjoy that. So finally, you know, once you kind of get some information and some guidance, you know, through divination or through whatever process you're going to use, you know, it then becomes the challenge to make that decision about how you're going to proceed. And that's where I talked a little bit about that meditation on that Mars energy. You might also want to try to get in touch, you know, if you're into Kabbalah and you understand the Tree of Life or some of these magical systems, you know that the Sephirot on the Tree of Life include different aspects of God and God names and energies and so on. So the Sephira Geburah is the one that's related to Mars. That's the fifth Sephira. And you can look that up online if you want to find out more information about that. But again, that gets into that kind of warrior spirit, but it's that righteous warrior spirit. It's that energy that can make decisions and move forward and lead, you know, into challenging places and move you past fears and so on. That'll help you get to that next place that you need to go. That's something that you can do. The other thing we want to talk about, and then we're going to actually kind of start wrapping it up here, I think. The last thing we're going to talk about, of course, is prayer. I mean, that can be one of the most powerful, important things you can do. And that's also sort of part of finding guidance is, you know, looking to that higher source, looking to the ancestors, looking to your holy guardian angel, looking to, you know, whoever you work with, whatever power you and visualize and see. That's a higher source to you, you know, praying to that deity and asking for guidance, or praying to that higher part of yourself and asking for guidance, and then watching your dreams and watching what unfolds in your daily life and so on. And that kind of feeling, what comes back or what answers come from that. Prayer is really an underused tool, you know, and, you know, especially today we think, well, what's the point of it and this and that. My thing is really, you have nothing to lose and try it. I have found miraculous things have happened through prayer countless times in my life. And I'm sure you've found the same thing, right, Chris?
I have, shockingly, yep. Surprisingly. It's something that's available. And, you know, if there's a hang up with God or any religion or anything like that, you can always use the universal power. Like you said, a higher power, you know, my inner genius or something like that, as long as, again, it's not you, just like the cards and the selection of the coins and the figure, it gets it out of you that's trying to solve this thing, and you're either turning it over or you're asking for something. And I actually, just like I would get in an I Ching reading or with a shaman journey, I ask sometimes, I should probably do it more, when I pray, I ask for also like, well, then, and show me, okay? I'm safe. We're talking about maybe direction or something. I'm not sure the direction of my life. It could be this. It could be that. I'm praying. I'm praying. I'm turning this over to you. And if you could, please show me, give me an indication, show me a sign that maybe I am on the right path when I come across it or something like that, you know? And I think that's okay. I think it's okay to be bold, you know, say like, well, show me something. Show me so I know. Not just your prayers just going out into the wind, which it's actually fine to do that as well. But you can actually ask, why not? If you're praying anyway, why not pray for, you know, some symbol, some sign, some thing will come on TV and you'll go, oh my gosh, that's, you know, something that, and you're going to a sign that you're going to recognize as being something coming from that other side. That can certainly be
part absolutely of the prayer. And you know, and that's the thing about it. You can pray for faith, you can pray for clarity, you can pray for, you know, direction and so on. And even, you know, even if you're someone, a type of a person who maybe came from a background of a religion that, you know, no longer seems to work for you, you know, I find that a lot of times people that have grown up as Christians of some sort oftentimes find themselves at odds with Christianity at some point in their life. Here's the thing that's interesting about that, though. You know, Jesus is still a figure that you can go to, still a source that you can go to, even if you don't consider yourself a Christian. You know, you can pray, and you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be in a specific type of language or whatever, but you know, let's say that, you know, you did have that faith when you were young and then you found yourself kind of getting away from that. You know, it can be powerful to go back to that stuff that worked for you when you were young in a new way, you know, with a new understanding, and look for guidance from the, you know, from that same source that you know, you got something from maybe when you were younger. You have to, you know, create a new relationship to it. And maybe, you see Jesus as a more Gnostic type figure as you get older, and you see some of the different traditions that sprung out of that, or a more mystical version of Jesus or so forth. So, you know, that's something some people have to wrestle with, you know, their sort of early religious experiences, and like they still have some feelings for that particular religion. You know, it could be Judaism. It could be Islam. It could be, you know, whatever you were sort of raised with. Come at it from a different angle as you get older and try to understand it in a more mystical light. And sometimes you'll find great power in that. And Jung was a big fan of that. He was like, if you had some kind of, you know, religious path, regardless of how it kind of unfolded when you were young, oftentimes those archetypal powers are still really active within you. And you've got to kind of come and work with them in a new way, to have a new divine experience, a new experience of the numinous, you know, that numinous experience is that divine experience that we're looking for. And so that's something to think about, you know, something to think about. Sometimes, you know, we get away from stuff that worked for us when we were younger, and we need to reconnect in a new way. So lastly, let's talk a little bit about affirmations then. So once you kind of feel like you've got some guidance, and maybe you've tentatively made some decisions, or you've really made a strong decision one way or the other, then you need to really kind of, you know, make some affirmations towards reaching that goal. That helps a lot. You know, having some sort of statement or something that you say to yourself each day, or continued guidance in it, or, you know, a goal that you've written down or so forth. Once you've made that decision, you've got to reinforce it in your mind, right, on a daily basis. You know, don't you find that to be true? Like once you've got that information, it kind of can get hazy if you don't keep reinforcing it on a daily basis. Would you agree with that?
I do. And one thing that I think happens sometimes when we're not clear on something, sometimes we actually are. We actually maybe know more than we know that we know. But that answer might be scary, or the carrying out of the next step might be difficult, or somehow there's fear involved. And that can be an affirmation, or even a prayer is, you know, grant me the power to see this through, or see this in a new way that I may do it. I know what I should be doing is, you know, starting a blog, and I've always talked about it, and I really want to do it. And I don't know if people like my writing or not. And, But this is what I want. So please help me see the power, find the power within that I can get through this and be productive, and then see yourself doing that. Say, I am a writer. I am a ballroom dancer, or, you know, I am a good spouse. Whatever it is you're really working towards, use a very affirmative statement in the I am, and you're putting yourself where you really want to be, even if it's scary. Say, wow, I'm scared. Well, then pray for the strength to see it through.
Okay, we lost Chris, unfortunately. We've been having some trouble with the recording, so I'm just going to kind of finish this out on my own tonight. Thank you, Chris, for your participation. You had some great stuff that you added. Appreciate you being here every week. And thank you for doing that great shaman journey. I think the listeners are going to really enjoy that. And so, like I said, you know, if you want, go back and listen to that a few times and maybe make some notes or something. You can do that on your own. Chris was actually talking a little bit about prayer before we lost him. And he was talking about how, you know, you may find through the divination that you find an answer to something that you're kind of frightened of. So, you know, we might pretend or feel like we didn't get the answer that we wanted or what have you, because we don't really want to face the decision that we have to make, right? It may tell us something that we're afraid of, or that we feel like we're not ready to do. And that's the good thing about these divinations and these tools, is that they'll give us information from a higher source that's pushing us towards our destiny. You know, so it sometimes takes a great amount of courage to actually follow through with those things. And so what he started talking about when actually he got cut off was that you may need to pray for the strength and courage that you'll need to sustain you through this. You need to make the decisions that you need to make and take the actions that you need to take after you find that information through the divination and you get that guidance you're looking for. So you may need that strength and that prayer. And you can use prayer, of course, to ask for courage, to ask for clarity, the strength to carry out what you need to do, the sustaining power to move you forward, all these sorts of things. You can also use ritual and meditation in that way as well, and your affirmations. You know, find some great affirmations about success or about you know, building your confidence if you're having some issues with those things, and so on. That stuff will help you a great deal. Ritual work that you might do. I would highly recommend anyone who's interested in ritual magic to do the lesser banishing ritual of the pentagram. And you can find a great version of that online if you look for Israel Regardi, lesser banishing ritual of the pentagram. He leads you through that. Another great meditation tool that's, this is up on YouTube, by the way. Another great meditation tool on YouTube is what's known as the middle pillar. And this is a Kabbalistic meditation that you can do that'll generate a lot of energy to get you where you need to go and help you clarify things and so on. And so if you just look up Israel Regardi, Israel Regardi is Israel Regardie, middle pillar, Pillar. You'll get some great videos on there of original recordings of that great occultist, Israel Regardi, who actually published the book, The Golden Dawn. Crowley published it first in the Equinox, but Regardi published it second and did a more thorough job of getting the actual original teachings in his book. So there's that history with him. But a fantastic occultist and esoteric and spiritual leader. So check that out. Highly recommend it. Last thing I've got for you is actually two things. One is this idea in ceremonial magic and in alchemy. It's a saying, short saying in Latin. It's solvitur ambulando. And it means basically solved by walking. So remember that a lot of these things, we're going to find that once we make a decision, we'll find that a lot of these problems are solved by forward movement. You know, and some of the things that we try may or may not work, but they'll lead us to the next right thing. They'll lead us to the next step that we need to take. And so really no decision that you're going to make is going to be a bad decision. The worst decision is to not do anything at all and say stay stuck in that place where you're contemplating what you're going to do. You know, do your guidance work through divination, do your meditation, do ritual, prayer, etc. Do all this work. But remember that in the end, you know, you've got to solve your problem walking, in essence. So you've got to be working on it to really, you know, get into this and make these steps. So, you know, you're going to make the decision and then you're going to get into action. So think about that. Keep that term in mind. Solvitur ambulando. Solved by walking, or it is solved by walking. So that's a great piece of wisdom. And the other thing is go out and take a walk. Get some exercise. Clear your mind. Sometimes that's all we need to get the right answers we're looking for. So there's some tools. Thank you again, Anthony, for providing us with the information with the question that gave us the topic for the show today. We really appreciate it. And I apologize if it's a little bit choppy. Like I said, we had a little bit of problem with the recording tonight, but we're working through it, and I wanted to get this up just to get this episode out there tonight for you guys. So thank you again for joining us. Thank you, Chris, so much. Check us out at cosmiceye.org or at chrissheridan.com, and you can get either of our books there. So Chris's book is The Spirit in the Sky, and mine is If You Can Worry, You Can Meditate. And like I said, please support us or reach out to us. If you've got questions, if you want to speak to us, you can get through at info@cosmiceye.org, or you can go to anchor.fm/cosmiceye. We thank you again for listening, praying for everybody out there for peace and justice. And, you know, we wish everyone the best. Stay safe. Have a great week. Enjoy your life and try to stay positive in these turbulent times. You know, do your inner work and be a person of value. You know, the more that we can all get our own kind of shadow issues and projections and so on, these are Jungian terms, by the way, under control means, you know, the more that we can be a conscious and positive member of society. So, you know, doing your inner work and doing this kind of work that we're doing through the ancient wisdom and metaphysical traditions and so on is helping the world. You know, the work that we do interiorly is actually helping the world. You know, it feels sometimes like, oh, I'm just doing this stuff for myself. But the thing is, when you work on yourself, you really are working on the world, because, you know, our influence spreads out. We carry it around with us. You know, we send out this sort of vibe and energy quality that does influence other people. So, you know, keep this great work up. Stay positive. You know, keep doing what you're doing. And, you know, we're praying for everybody out there. Keep moving forward. Have a great week. Goodbye, and God bless.